Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
96.9, The Wired, presents Michael
wait,
Shockley.
Wait. Is it Wired or The Wired?
Yes.
Both.
Because I can't, sometimes it's Wired, but sometimes you can't just say Wired with whatever you just spoke. So sometimes it just feels natural to add the article.
Ah, I see.
It's the only time I'm pro article.
So is it, can we use other articles? Can we A Wired?
Yeah. Or An Wired.
Ooh.
If we're going to break all the rules.
Yeah, may as well.
I'm a bad boy like that.
Rebels.
Michael Shockley joins us. He is the senior writer and webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only place you can go to in town for all of your Iceman information, IcemanManiacs.com.
Indeed.
How you doing today, Michael?
Oh, I'm all right. This is our 32nd and final episode of season one.
Thank God, the last trivia.
Yeah. And we'll see if you can go out on a low note, you know, to uphold
yep.
the high standards that you have set.
Exactly.
This is our
At
last...
this point, I want to screw it up so I get the first pick overall.
There you go. This is our 32nd and final episode. Next week, we'll officially start season two. So, hard
Who
to believe.
Yeah. There was a couple of times there that double digits seemed like an impossibility.
Yeah. And then season two seemed like an impossibility when we started doing the fur circus.
Yeah, you know what? That's where I was going to. Holy fur circus.
So, Iceman News and Notes? Moving right on?
Moving right on, Iceman
right.
News and Notes.
First off, single game tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale. Save yourself some cash. Get them at the Ford Center box office if you're not going to get season tickets. That's the best way to save cash. But if you're going to buy single game tickets, get them at the Ford Center box office. For those that don't know, if you go through Ticketmaster.com or any Ticketmaster outlet, you get absolutely gouged by fees. A $15 ticket ends up being $19.95. A $10 kids ticket ends up being $14.85. Etc., etc. There is a full breakdown of the per ticket fees on IcemanManiacs.com if you're curious how much you can save by avoiding Ticketmaster. So, the bottom line, in case you didn't get it in the last few moments, avoid Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I was getting ready with the waiver. The thoughts and comments of Michael Shockley are the sole proprietary. Ownership.
Oh boy. The gears are grinding to a halt.
Hey, once I hit those four-syllable words, that's about it. But yes, anything that he says, like Ticketmaster sucks, that is all Michael Shockley.
I didn't say that.
IcemanManiacs.com.
I did not say that.
Anyways.
That was scripted, but I didn't say it. I chose not to.
We had a guy come into the Iceman office that spent $500 through Ticketmaster for Iceman tickets.
And he got $11 worth of tickets.
I probably were like, oh, dude, no.
Yeah, it's...
Get the word out.
Just, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying don't buy tickets. I'm just saying if you're going to buy them, be smart about it. Go to the Ford Center box office. You can get them there without all the fees. And it's just, yeah, save yourself money. And if you want to know how much you can save, go to IcemanManiacs.com. Click over to the info page. There's a whole little breakdown of what each ticket level ends up being after Ticketmaster tacks on all of its fees. So there you go.
There you go. We added some players.
Yes, a rookie defenseman named Jacob Johnston. He played 4 years of college hockey at, I'm going to guess, Dalhousie?
The Dollhouse.
Yeah, the Dollhouse. Yes, it's Francais for the Dollhouse. Yeah. Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He had 46 points in 109 games. He also played 4 games in the U.S. at Cornell with one Patrick Kennedy.
Ah, yeah. About that.
So we have a couple of Cornell guys, and I guess that's who Patafi was talking about. A while back, he had tweeted that we were going to have another Cornell guy coming. I don't know that I would necessarily consider him a Cornell guy when he only played 4 games there, but...
Well, but he had to be enrolled for the semester,
at least.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, and that's 4 more games at Cornell than you and I played.
Yeah.
So, That's the only player signing since our last show. We do know that several signed Iceman players have received camp invites in the AHL. We have four guys who will be in Springfield. They are
Jason Dale,
Matthew Bissonette, Peter Sikaris, and Lauren Barron. Also, there are four guys in camp with other teams. Matt Krug got an invite to the Oklahoma City Barons camp.
That's the one I'm most excited about, because that's that Edmonton Oiler Farm Club and all those top draft picks go and play down there. So I think it's pretty awesome that he's there.
Guy Lapine is in Providence with the Bruins.
Guy Lapine.
Yes, I'm sorry. Dallas Earnhardt, or as you like to say, Earnhardt. I wonder if he'll wear number 3. If you're going to call him Earnhardt.
I've never called him Earnhardt, and I think that would be heresy, so I hope not.
He is in camp with the Chicago Wolves, and Patrick Kennedy is in camp with the St. John's Ice Caps. Now, keep in mind, it is almost certain that all of these guys will end up coming back to us. They're probably just in the AHL's camp filler, but still, it's great that they're getting a look. You never know what door that might open in the future for one of these guys, so... good for them, and every set of eyeballs at the next level you can get watching you play is worth something. So, and
that's what coach is all about.
Right.
Coach is all about, he wants to put a great product on the ice. He wants to win a championship and everything else, but he also needs to be responsible for these players and to develop them into AHLers and NHLers. And that will go a lot farther in the long term for this hockey team, even if we do lose some players in the early run, because
right.
he's developed them so well that they go on to play in the
right.
AHL.
That's what makes players want to come here, and that's what makes teams want to be an affiliate with you and work with you. So, yeah, it's huge to have that many players in AHL camps, even if they all are back here by opening day, which is quite likely.
Yep.
It is worth noting that the AHL regular season starts on October 4th, which is the same day our training camp starts. So, in all likelihood...
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.
In all likelihood, everyone who's coming back will be back for the start of training camp. And that's why the ECHL pushed the start of the season back a week this year, so that when AHL camp is over and they're ready to start their regular season, they have time for everyone to trickle back down and for the ECHL training camps to actually be training camp rather than a makeshift hodgepodge of guys that are never going to be there anyway.
They also wanted to extend the back end of the season out a little bit longer to get past the start of the NHL playoffs.
Right. And so the season is 1 week longer from start to finish, but it ends 2 weeks later because it's starting a week later in addition to being a week longer. So, yeah, we're going into that second or third week of April, so that'll be a difference from what we're used to. If nothing else, Comets fans won't be able to tell us that we were out of it before April, because we'll have games in April.
Yeah.
let's see. Also in camp news, there were four players that played for the Iceman last season that were part of the Columbus Blue Jackets training camp. Oliver Gabriel, Will Weber, Trent Vogelhuber, and Austin Medeski were all in camp. Vogelhuber and Medeski have already been returned to Springfield, and Gabriel and Weber are still there, but they will probably be reassigned fairly soon, I would imagine. They're all under contract in the system, so it's not a shock that they're in camp with the Blue Jackets, but again, it's just an opportunity to show what you've got and show the progress you've made as a player. And every chance you get to be seen by a set of eyes that are at a higher level than you're accustomed to is good. Because even if you don't get an opportunity to move up right now, they can offer you tips, they can see what you've done, and they'll basically file away what you've done in their memory bank, and you never know on a rainy day when that could really be to your benefit.
Let me ask you really quick, of all the guys that we saw last year that are up playing at the NHL level, at least for training camp, these guys here, Sebastian Wahnstrom, Cody Beach
mm-hmm.
Got to play with St. Louis over the weekend.
Brent Regner was in a game or two,
our
I think.
Friend Wes mentioned to me at Iceman Live mm-hmm. on Monday night about Beach. But which one of those guys do you like the best?
Austin Medeski.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, he was so much fun to watch last year.
You got a guy that can move the puck like that on D, who has a decent amount of size. And
Can skate laterally.
He takes a few years and really hones his skills. He has the talent, I think, to at least be a low-end NHL guy. At the very least, a high-end AHL guy who could have a nice long career.
And you think, too, about the Columbus Blue Jacket team. You've got a couple of solid veterans up there. You got a Jack Johnson. You got a James Wisniewski. Ryan Murray's going to make that club, so he's going to play with one of them. He's been playing a lot with Wisniewski. So you have a Jack Johnson where you stick a rookie like Medeski up there, and Johnson can help him and cover the ice, and he's not a liability. And, man, you never know. Then he'll be the first NHLer we watch down here.
Very well could be, yeah.
So anyways, more former Iceman news.
Yeah, more former Iceman who will not be back. Stefan Del Rovere has signed, or will sign, according to the team, with the AHL Charlotte Checkers. It's not official yet. They actually posted something on their website that said the Checkers will be signing Stefan Del Rovere, which I thought was a little odd.
Hmm.
But I guess they wouldn't say they were going to sign him if they don't actually plan on doing it. So I would say that's unofficially official. What is official is Mark Cody has signed to play in the SPHL with the Huntsville Havoc, which is where Jordan Little is an assistant coach. And Ross McKinnon, the backup goalie who actually never played a game for the Icemen last season, has signed in the CHL with the Tulsa Oilers. Also in the CHL, a few players from previous seasons with the Icemen. Damian Serma has signed with the Arizona Sundogs. Steve McWay has signed with the expansion St. Charles Chill. And big old 6'8" Jordan Lane has signed with the Quad City Mallards.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to watch Jordan Lane play and see how he's developed.
Yeah.
If he's going to stick with that club.
If he's developed.
My favorite Jordan Lane story was when he dumped the puck in from the red line. And the goalie stopped it, and then the 2D mishandled it. It was our first year in the CHL, playing at Swander Ice Arena. Puck popped right out in front of the net. I think Serma finished it off, and then Lane chirped at me wanting an assist. No, you're not. Two guys played the puck before it went into the net after you dumped it in from the red line. I am not giving you an assist.
That's probably about as close to an assist as he was going to get.
Yeah, that's why he was fired up about it.
Exactly. Also, the Icemen, there are three players who played for us last year.
This one burns me.
that have professional tryouts for training camp. This doesn't mean they will necessarily stick where they are, but Derek St. Marie is in camp in Fort Wayne with the Comets.
So we'll see if he sticks on or not.
Andre Bouvet-Morissette is in the AHL with the Hamilton Bulldogs. And the one perhaps of most interest to everyone here, Wade McLeod is in camp with your beloved Toronto Marlies.
Leaf Nation.
And as I told you,
Islander is officially a part of it.
As I told you on Facebook, if he does not stick in Toronto, we need to get Coach Pyle on that, barking up that tree in a hurry. Because that is a guy that can be a game changer at this level if he does not. If he somehow falls through the cracks in the AHL, I want him to fall through the cracks and land in Evansville.
So you're saying all the cracks lead to Evansville?
Well, no comment.
Okay.
It is worth noting. I think it's kind of interesting just to see who's still out there. I went through and was figuring out where everyone is from last season, and there are quite a few guys that are still free agents, including some names that might surprise some people. Forward Dale Mahovsky still has not signed anywhere, nor has Tyler Shelast. On defense, Matt Jens is still a free agent, Phil Plante, Derek Foam, Chris Markowitz is still a free agent, and also goaltender Alan York is a free agent. He had a PTO with the Nashville Predators, but was cut after a few days, so...
What about Dan Gender?
He is
he's Arizona?
Technically a free agent because he has not signed anywhere. The Tulsa Oilers traded for his rights in the CHL, but they've never said whether or not he has actually signed.
Okay.
So he might, I guess technically he is a free agent if they haven't signed him. And as far as the ECHL is concerned, he's a free agent regardless because the leagues don't care to honor each other's contracts, but... he is available in theory, but I would guess if he's going to play in the CHL or ECHL, it probably will be with Tulsa since they traded for him, but that remains to be seen.
I was just curious. All right, our next segment, why don't you explain it to everybody,
right,
including myself. First five in and first five out.
First five in, first five out. The idea of this is the Icemen currently have 19 players signed and announced, but... Coach Pyle has repeatedly said no one is guaranteed a spot. Everyone has to earn their job. Doesn't matter how experienced you are. Doesn't matter how popular you are. You have to earn your spot. Now, granted, everyone is still up in the air. Everyone has to earn their spot. No one's guaranteed. But you and I pretty much agree that there are three guys who are virtual locks to make the team. Those are Josh Beaulieu, Dylan Clark, and
Jason Dale! If for no reason, so that we can do 32 more episodes.
Yes. And that leaves 16 other guys out of the 19. The 16 are forwards Matthew Bissonnette, Chris Forfar, Patrick Kennedy, Dalton LeVay, Peter Sakaris, and Matt Shepke. The defensemen are Lauren Barron, Dallas Earhart, Aaron Jens, Donnie Harris, Jacob Johnston, Matt Crew, Guy Lepine, and Jake Obermeyer. And the goaltenders are Garrett Bartus and James Reed. So the concept of this is, of those 16, we want to name our first five in, who are, in our minds, the first five, the most likely to make the team, and our first five out, who, in our minds, are the most likely to not make the team. So I'll let you go first.
Thank you very much.
Since you're the host with the most. Who are your first five in?
Well, first, let's just let everyone know that we're not grinding any axes here. We don't have any problems or anything like that. But,
no, we don't have any inside information.
No, and we don't have any inside information, but I like being an armchair coach. I like being the sofa GM. I like sitting back and saying I would keep this guy and I wouldn't keep that guy. And coach is going to have to make cuts because we're expecting 4 to 7 people
right
in from Springfield. So some of these guys are not going to stay here.
Exactly.
So anyways, my first five in are, so look at my notes, I'm going with Matt Shepke,
okay,
Peter Sakaris,
okay,
Dalton LeVay,
okay,
Aaron Jens, and Dallas Earhart.
All right.
And I think forwards are the way to go. Beaulieu is not 100%, and they are going to monitor him over the next 3 or 4 months. They're going to keep an eye on him at practice and everything else. He's going to sit some time out. So I would expect us to have more forwards than we would normally carry. I got a feeling we'll carry one extra forward to manage that injury situation.
So that he can have some maintenance days.
Yep.
Makes sense. My first five in are Bissonnette.
His nickname, by the way, is the Biznado.
The Biznado.
Biznado.
Who came up with that moniker?
A buddy of mine that plays in the C-League. His name is Adam, and I can't think of his last name right now. But he listens to the show quite a bit on Wednesdays, and he snagged me at one of the meetings and said, I got a nickname for Bissonnette. You got to call him the Biznado. And I'm like, oh, that's
perfect.
I
like it. Yeah,
so
I like that.
He is
that's
the
good.
Biznado.
The Biznado. Yeah, I think you got a guy that's scored 140 points in 112 games in the queue. That's yep. That's the kind of guy that's a pretty safe bet. I also have Sakaris. Guy Lepine.
Guy.
That size, his experience, yep, the fact that he fights, there's no way he's not going to make this team. I also have Earhart. As you mentioned, Pyle says he has AHL talent. And you don't cut a guy at this level that has AHL talent. And I got Lauren Barron. Just wins wherever he goes. He was a champion in the USHL. He was a Frozen Four runner-up, and he's in camp with Springfield. As we were talking about off the air before we started the show, guys usually do not get camp invites without recommendations from their coach.
Yep.
And you don't get a recommendation from your coach if you're on the brink of getting cut. So all five of the guys that I mentioned are in AHL camps right now, so I think they're probably all fairly safe.
So you're going with the safe bet.
I'm going, well, I think it's just logical.
Yep. Makes sense. It is logical.
Indeed.
First
five out.
First five out. Who's going first? Me?
I'll let you slip on the banana peel first.
All right. Again, if this is one of your favorites, I'm sorry. I don't have anything against these guys. I'm just having fun playing the game and guessing with the very limited knowledge I have. But I got some stingers on here.
So for those of you who weren't listening just now, when Derek mentions your favorite player, it means he hates your favorite player and you.
You're horrible. Hold on. Do I have five or do I have four
on here?
And
your entire family.
Crap, I only have four on here.
And Derek can't count.
So that takes me off. All right, from my forwards, Patrick Kennedy.
Ooh. Honestly, I would not be shocked either. He's not on my list, but it wouldn't shock me.
The problem I have with him is I love what coach is putting together. Very speedy forward team, very physical defensive end. But I think this team is going to have trouble scoring. We got Dylan Clark, and we've got Biznado.
Biznado, yes.
But the rest of these guys, and Shepke put in a lot of goals for Michigan State. But other than that, we don't have any. You look over this lineup, you don't see that 30-goal score.
Right.
And we talked about it last year with the loss of Brian Bicek. And I love the way Kennedy plays, but I just, you got to make room somewhere.
Right.
So there's some fear there that he isn't going to score enough goals to make a difference on this team. Jacob Johnston, I'm also going to cut Jake Obermeyer. Kind of the same thought. He's a fantastic guy. He captained this club and everything else. But there's guys that are bigger that are going to hit more, and there's going to be guys that skate better and move the puck better. And he does it all, but not at the high-end level. I'm also going to cut Garrett Bartis and Chris Forfar, because I only picked four. So that's the first name on the list.
Wow. Very scientific method you employ.
Because I use logic.
Yeah. Go by how they're listed. Oh, boy. All right. My first two are, I guess, by definition, 50-50 in theory. I've got James Reed and Garrett Bartis both on my list, only because there's only one spot available for a goalie if we get a goalie from Springfield, as we expect. So by definition, one of those two is going to be cut.
Yep.
And while I would think Reed being the incumbent has the edge going in, you never know what these guys that come out of college, they may have decent numbers in college, but you put them in a pro game with pro players in front of them, and they may light the world on fire. So I wouldn't be shocked one bit if Bartis comes into camp and just makes a case for himself. And you never know which way that could go. And you also got to figure there's still a chance that another goalie shakes loose from an AHL camp, or there's some free agent that Pyle's been talking to and just hasn't gotten him to sign on the dotted line yet. Who knows? Maybe a guy like Alan York. If he sits out there and nobody signs him, would Pyle take a look at him? And if that happens, then Reed and Bartis are both out of a job, because we're not going to carry three goalies.
Yep.
So I think just by the nature of the position and the fact that there's a limited quantity of positions available for them, I think both of them deserve to be on the list. Not saying that both of them deserve to be cut, but one of them is going to be, at the very least, and maybe both of them.
Because you hate them.
Exactly. And their families and all of their fans. And Jacob Franklin, Esquire III, who calls Bartis Brutus. My other three are defensemen, and I don't think they will be popular either. I also have Jake Obermeyer on my list. I love the guy, great guy, everybody loves him, but part of his problem is he can't stay healthy. He's played like half of the games over the last two seasons because he just can't stay healthy, and that's one big red flag. But also, I agree with you. He's perfectly serviceable, but I think Pyle is wanting to shoot for more than serviceable, and I just don't know that Obermeyer is going to fit that definition. I like the guy. I wouldn't be disappointed if he stays around, but I just think out of the guys that are on the list, he's ripe for the picking when it comes to the injury history and just being sort of a low-end ECHL player. I was honestly a little bit surprised that Crom brought him back last year. I wasn't sure that he would make the transition from the C to the E in the first place. And to his credit, he handled himself really well last year. And maybe when he was healthy, the way he played will earn him the job this year. But Pyle has talked so much about injuries, and that really makes me think that all other things being equal, if it's down to Jake and one other player, Obi might be out just because he's got this history of playing 35 games a year instead of 70 because he's always hurt. My other two defensemen, like I said, these are not going to be popular. I got Donnie Harris on my list. I think did really well. He acquitted himself very well when he earned the promotion from the SPHL last year. We needed help on defense. He played well. He was just one of those kind of solid glue guys back on D. And he's not counted on to be an offensive presence, but when you finish the month scoreless and minus 13, that's a bit of a red flag, too. Now, I'm not saying he can't make the team, but he would be toward the bottom of my list, too. And the third defenseman that's on my list that I know I'm going to take some crap for this, especially since he was on your five in list. I got Aaron Jens on my list.
Get out of this studio right now.
I just think, first off, the Conkey is, even though he's cleared, the Conkey is a yellow flag. And also,
I got a Conkey. Coach hasn't kicked me off the team yet.
Yet being the operative word. I also just think there's a whole lot of scuttlebutt of fans that have talked to Aaron and fans that have talked to Coach Pyle. And there's a lot of talk about an attitude issue there. And I don't know if how legitimate it is, but if people are talking to Pyle and that's what he's saying, then interesting.
Hmm.
Now, it's not to say that an attitude can't be turned around with the right coach.
I like how you go from your five in is based on logic and guys that have gotten camp invites, and your five out is based on scuttlebutt that you've heard from our fan base. Nice.
Well, yeah.
I heard this on Maniacs Asylum.
Yeah. Don Breck's cousins, yeah. Dogs.
Yeah. But anyways.
Rumors. But, again, Pyle keeps telling people his roster decisions will not be about a popularity contest. And I think that is, it doesn't necessarily mean he's definitely going to cut guys that he knows are popular, but he's trying to prep the fan base that, listen, there's some guys that you all love that might not be on this team come opening day. And I would not be shocked one bit if Aaron Jensen, Jake Obermeyer are among those players.
See, I wonder if the difference there is I've gotten to sit down with Coach and see his power play that he designs. And I brought it up at the last show that a lot of it is based on that point man, whether it's a defenseman mm-hmm. or a forward, being very mobile. And, yeah, Donnie Harris didn't have a lot of points, but I saw one slap shot from that guy at the blue line, and that kid's got potential. And I just see both Genzie and Harris as being that point man at the top. I think they've got the wheels to be able to handle that position, and I know Harris has got the shot if he has the time. And I think that's why I'm putting the – I agree with you with the Earnhardts and the
– I'm sorry, who?
Dang it, I did do it.
Ah!
Crap. You totally – put that into my mind.
Earnhardt. Hey, if you're going to call him Earnhardt.
I am not going to call him Earnhardt. I never said that until you put that into my subconscious.
But because it's close enough and he's a big guy who plays physical, his nickname needs to be the Intimidator.
We'll see. I don't, man. That's
those are big shoes to fill.
Holy ground. I don't think I can go there. But anyways, but I see Earnhardt and Guy Lapine making, you know, they're the big guys, and then you're going to need these other guys to the mobile quarterback defenseman on the club. So that's where we're different. Anyways, we got to get moving on here. 27 minutes in. Oh. Shockers Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
All right. Last Monday, the 16th, the Icemen announced a new anti-bullying campaign in partnership with EVSC and EPD. Our own Brian Pataffy is the chair of said campaign. For those that don't know, Pataff has said he was bullied as a kid due to his lisp, and he will share his story along with the stories of others at schools around the tri-state to help curb bullying, which is just awesome.
It's fantastic.
Now, of course, the detractors come out of the woodworks and, oh, well, does this mean the Iceman players are going to be wimps and they won't fight anymore? Oh, well, this is ironic coming from a team in a sport that employs people specifically to fight. Well, sorry, people, but the truth of the matter is bullying is not just about fighting. There's a lot more to it. It's almost more mental than it is physical. And if you're going to take that kind of an attitude and poo-poo all over a wonderful program like this, then guess what? You are part of the problem.
I like that.
So shut it.
Yep.
But anyway, because this is an awesome program, I'm going to play this week. This is a song I never played at Swander because it came out last year, and we haven't been at Swander since last year.
Oh, you're
going
to play it October 5th?
Maybe. Cool. We'll get to that. Perhaps. But it is a very good song, and it's about this very topic. This is Bully by Shinedown.
Nothing more than who I am. So break my bones. Plays with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back. Shocker. Dirty D. 96.9. Wired.
If you can't let me say music bomb anymore.
You can say music bomb.
But it's not official. So
it
isn't
official. It isn't hashtag official.
I'm breaking out the new sound effect. So yeah, it's now.
All right. Finally, the last Iceman trivia forever.
Indeed. Well, at least
forever.
At least for a while.
Forever.
Next show, when we start season two, we will feature a new segment in this slot. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I do think it's going to be really interesting, and I think people will enjoy it, especially longtime fans.
It's not going to involve me singing, Real Men of Genius, or the lack thereof.
Ears are bleeding all over the tri-state.
Jason Dale!
You are 7-17. You
That's
got it
respectable.
Wrong. Yeah. In what universe?
I'm happy with that. I mean, by its very definition, trivia is insignificant facts. So, yes, I suck at insignificant things.
Well.
Yes. Exactly.
No comment.
That's what she said.
All right. I think this is a fairly simple one to end the year on a high note.
Right. Way to set me up for the fall.
Since this is our last show of the first season, we'll wrap it up by looking back at last season. My question for you, can you name the four players who wore the C for the Iceman last season?
Todd Robinson, Jake Obermeyer. Oh, man, now it gets tricky.
Ooh.
Daniel Tatro. And Josh Beaulieu?
Incorrect.
Dang it!
You got 3 out of 4. Todd
Cody?
Robinson. Who?
Cody? No,
nope.
He didn't wear it.
No.
Matt Jens?
Yes, Matt Jens.
Drew Campbell.
Studio audience.
Studio audience.
Smarter than the host. Not that that's saying a whole lot.
Yeah.
But Todd
look
Robinson.
Look at all the things that are in the studio that are smarter than the host. That empty water bottle.
Yeah.
The lamp. I love lamp.
Yeah. Todd Robinson wore the C for 57 games. Matt Jens wore it for 8 games while Todd was injured.
Oh, yeah, with the ice knee incident.
Yeah, after that. And then once Todd bolted from town, Dan Tatro took over for 4 games, and we thought he would be the captain for the rest of the season, and then he got called up to Peoria, and that's when Obermeyer wore the C for the last 3 games of the season. So there you go.
7-18.
7-18, which is that's a winning percentage of .280, which in winning percentage is terrible. In a batting average is not so bad.
So
you're above the Mendoza line. The Benigni line has been set at .280.
Nice. Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
Iceman fans can follow Iceman athletic trainer and regular amusement park guest Brian Patafi on Twitter. His handle is bpatafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. You can also follow his son, Caden Patafi, C-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. This week's tweet...
Caden's done a great job of counting down days to the home opener with little Instagram picture-y things on his Twitter account. It's been pretty cool.
There you go, folks. Go follow Caden.
He is a lot more talented than his dad.
Again, not saying much.
Nope.
So, this week, Mr. Patafi is getting all psychological on us, or maybe just psycho. He said, quote, a Freudian slip is when you say one thing but mean your mother.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I thought that was pretty clever. Nice. I'm sure he didn't come up with it, but it's pretty clever.
It's back. Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week.
It is back.
Wow.
Playfully throwing someone under the bus for the most insane recent post in the Maniac Asylum on Facebook. And to the shock of probably no one, we have our first two-time winner, and it is Jacob Franklin Esquire III.
Nice.
After the Jacob Johnston signing, Jacob showed off his math skills, yo. He said, quote, let's hope we keep 98% of what we are seeing in these signings. Positive, saying, I like what Pyle's doing here. Well, Stacey Kirchhoff responded to him and said, something very factual. We can't keep 98%. We are already at 19 players, and we'll be getting 4 to 6 more from Springfield and Columbus.
Logic.
Yes. Jacob responded. Here we go. This is number one. And said, actually, we have 17 skaters and 2 goalies. Mind you, that's correcting her saying we're at 19. Yep. Then she said, I said 19. Goalies count toward roster numbers, too. And his response to that was, and this is where it gets really convoluted, we're only getting one goalie from Columbus, so count them differently. 17 skaters plus 3 is 20. That's correct. Plus 1, more goalie, is 22. So, for those of you keeping score at home, according to Jacob Franklin, 17 plus 2 is not 19, and 20 plus 1 is 22. Moral of the story, math is hard.
Did you snip that little dialogue and make a copy of it? Because we could frame that, and then whoever is the Maniac Asylum lunatic of the year for being the lunatic.
They get
the most,
that in a
yeah,
plaque.
Yes. That's just
that's good
that's
stuff.
That's good stuff there. Yeah. So anyways, wow. Guns and Hoses hockey.
Yes. Saturday, October 5th at Swander. Doors will open at 6:30.
The puck still laughing about that.
To break out the abacus and do a little help the foil.
How did
learn.
We go from two goalies to three goalies plus add one more goalie?
Beats the heck out of me. I don't know.
And then when did you come up with 98%?
You're going to have to ask him.
I don't know. That is just...
Yeah. I don't know. That's why he's the lunatic of the week. The sad thing was he tried to explain himself over and over and over again, and it just made everyone that much more confused. Anyway.
Guns and Hoses.
Guns and Hoses. Saturday, October 5th at Swander. Puck drops at 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. They will play 3 15-minute stopped clock periods. Tickets are available now at Swander for just $10. All the money goes to 911 Gives Hope. If you don't know what that is, go to 911giveshope.org for information. It is a great cause. This is the same body that puts on the Guns N' Hoses boxing match every year, or boxing card every year. And it's just an awesome cause. And this is the second annual hockey game. Last year they did it at the Ford Center after an Iceman game as a free add-on to the Iceman game. This year they're doing it for the first time as a standalone event at Swander. And it should be a very cool evening. I think it's going to be kind of an old school feel like the old Iceman games were.
I think so too.
And it should be a lot of fun. Well worth the $10. And like we said, all the money goes to a good cause. But if the good cause is not enough, here are 4 reasons why you should go to Guns N' Hoses hockey. Number 1, former Iceman ticket rep Kyle Fornetten will be playing for the Guns.
He will be.
Number 2.
He will also end up in the box.
Number 2. Kilt-wearing Iceman maniac Chris Lemon will be in net for the Hoses.
His battle cry is quick whistles. That's what he yells at the refs all the time. Quick whistles. Quick whistles.
I think that's kind of the battle cry of every goalie, isn't it?
I guess. But he, like, all the time is telling you, quick whistles. Quick whistles.
The third reason you should go is that you, Mr. Benigni himself, will be one of the on-ice officials.
I will be the referee, I'm
You will
sure.
be the man in charge, the armband?
And, yep, and Brian Vall will be one of my linesmen.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So there's another reason.
Yes.
In other words...
I wonder
words,
if I can get Maddie Spaeth into town for
ooh.
I might have to...
Bring the man crush for yeah, over for dinner?
And have him work for me.
Ooh.
Or maybe I could get him to ref it.
No, you could not have him work for you because you would get so excited you would get lightheaded and pass out.
That's all right.
You'd probably referee better that way.
Maybe. Can't do any worse.
So, yeah, you're going to be, in theory, the armband, and Vol yep. will be one of the linesmen.
Yep.
Which means heckling is not only welcome but encouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And the fourth reason you should go, and this is the big one. This is the granddaddy of them all.
This is good news. I didn't know this.
It has been confirmed that yours truly will be spinning the tunes. So it will be like an old school night at Swander.
It will be. Don't play Macarena.
Until you make your first bad call of the game, which will be about in the first 34 seconds.
My first bad call is the idea to even do this. So,
so yeah, when you make your first bad call, I will be playing Macarena in your honor.
See, and it's going to be a fantastic night because it's all fun. It all goes to a great charity. It's going to be a fantastic thing. But there's always that little bit of angst between the firemen and the policemen. So we're all going to be out there having fun, ha, 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 he, 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 playing music, feeling like the old days. It's going to turn into a real hockey game.
Yeah. At some point along the way, they're going to start getting a little nasty.
Earlier than later. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be good hockey.
And it is, to clarify, it is non-check, correct?
Yeah, well.
In theory.
Yes, yes. It is by USA Hockey non-check rules.
Yeah, but you might let a little bit go here and there.
Well,
depending on the way the
USA
game goes.
Hockey isn't against body contact.
Right.
It's against body checking, and there's a difference there. So
yeah, there's a fine line.
Yes. Yeah,
you base it on the way the game's going.
Well, no.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So, plus, the police won because they cheated last year with their roster, so we're working on some paybacks.
Wait, another police scandal?
Yeah. All the comments made by Michael Shockley are the ownership
Moving
of IcemanManiacs.com,
on.
And I have his cell phone number and his address if you need any information.
So, yeah, again, Saturday, October 5th, 7:30 at Swander. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets are $10. All the money goes to a great cause. So come out, see Chris Lamone in net, see Derek Benigni as a zebra, see me spin the tunes again. It's going to be a great
Kyle
time.
Fernetten as a forward.
Indeed.
So
it's going to be awesome.
Booster clubbing.
Boy, there is a lot of stuff going on with the Booster Club right now. After the last few years of basically being left out on our own by the organization, we are getting a lot of attention, and it's awesome, and it means we got a lot of stuff going on at the same time.
Poor Dixie's being stalked by Coach.
Man, she is getting texts and calls left and right. First off, the first thing we got going, tickets for the Blue and White Intra-Squad Scrimmage are now on sale through the Booster Club. For those who have not heard, the Intra-Squad Scrimmage is part of training camp. It will be Friday, the 11th of October at 7:15 at the Edge in Owensboro, which is right next to the Sports Center where the KWC plays basketball. Doors will open at 6 o'clock. General admission tickets are $5. You can order them on IcemanManiacs.com. We use PayPal to handle all the money transfers, but you don't have to have a PayPal account. You just have to have a credit card. So you can order your tickets on Maniacs.com. We will be at the Edge that night to distribute them if you don't figure out a way to get them from us before then.
Only about 300 people sit in this building.
It's going to be tight.
It's going to be intimate. And this is part of training camp. So this one's going to get kind of real, too.
Yeah, because guys will be fighting for jobs, literally. So it's not going to be some little ho-hum, no check, nobody wants to hit each other. It's not unheard of to see fights in training camp. And if there's guys that are fighting for jobs and part of their jobs is fighting, there could very well even be a fight during this.
Yep.
So, it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out kind of game, and I believe they're going to do it like a standard game, 20-minute periods, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Full-on
referees,
the whole shebang. Do you know who's going to be refereeing it?
I do not yet. I know I got asked, and I
passed. You don't want to be.
Nope. So if I'm reffing,
I don't blame you one bit. But yeah, go to IcemanManiacs.com. All the info, including the date and time and all that stuff, is there. You can order your tickets online. We only have 175 of them to sell through the Booster Club, and I think about 75 or 80 have probably been sold. So we're moving through them pretty quickly. And the deadline to buy them is the 9th, I believe. We have to submit however many we've sold and then give the rest back to the team by then. So if you want to go and you're planning on it, get your tickets now. You cannot wait until the night of the game because you might not have any left to get.
Cool. What else you got? Oh,
next.
Authentic Iceman locker room nameplates.
Yes, exclusively through the Booster Club. We have the nameplates that were on the locker room stalls last season. They are about the size of a bumper sticker. They're plastic. The prices range from $5 to $30 depending on the player and the quantity available. Right now, we are doing a Booster Club members-only pre-sale of them. A little benefit of being in the Booster Club. The public sale, for whatever the Booster Clubbers don't gobble up, will start at the home opener on Saturday, October 19th. More details, including the full list of players that are available and their prices, is on IcemanManiacs.com. There's a graphic on the homepage. It will take you, click it, it'll take you over to the Maniac message board where all the information is. And once the Booster Club pre-sale ends, I will post an updated list of which ones are still available for the public sale beginning on opening night.
So if someone is not a booster member right now, if they pay their $5, $10 for the family, can they get right into the sale right now?
Yes.
So the it is booster club availability
indeed.
Once you pay your money and fill out your very
simple
paperwork. So
if you're on the fence about joining the booster club, do it now, and you can get in on these before the general public can. And again, we are accepting registration and renewals for members from last year for this season. $5 for an individual, $10 for a family. All the info is on IcemanManiacs.com. And yes, you can get in on the nameplate presale. The presale ends on October 2nd at 11:59 p.m., so basically midnight the evening of October 2nd. So if you're thinking about it, get your stuff in, all the information about how to get into the club, and also if you are doing this in order to get into the presale, all that is covered in the Maniac Message Board info section as well. So, yeah, that is another reason to join the Booster Club, one of many. And we have been getting bombarded by new people signing up for the
Fantastic.
Booster Club, which is awesome. Dixie could barely eat at Iceman Live on Monday because people were coming left and right wanting to pay their dues and wanting to register and wanting to buy scrimmage tickets, too. So,
And
pretty
she's
awesome.
The best part of that show, too. Both weeks.
Sure as heck isn't the host.
Oh, heck yeah. But and she's more organized than the host, but it's fantastic to have her on there, and she's going to be a part of the show every week.
Right,
so.
Which will help the Booster Club immensely going forward. Also wanted to mention another deadline coming up is the Maniac Asylum t-shirts that we have been selling.
Ah, yes.
The deadline for ordering those is next Tuesday, the 1st, at 11:59 p.m.
Otherwise known as Toronto Maple Leaf Day. Since the start of the NHL season, my Leafs
That's
play
true.
Ottawa.
That's true, yeah. So, will they be mathematically eliminated yet?
Well, our high-priced seven-year former New Jersey Devil free agent will be sitting out the first 10 games because he had to save Phil Kessel, but he lost $250,000 for that.
That's chump change.
So anyways, where were we?
So the Maniac
Booster Clubbing.
The Maniac Asylum t-shirts. Yeah.
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said.
Jason Dale.
Oh, we
need to cut that clip out. Oh, boy. So, yeah, the shirts are $15 or $20, depending on the size. Again, go to IcemanManiacs.com. All the info is there, and you can order those via PayPal as well. Again, you do not need a PayPal account, just a credit card. But you have to order them by the 1st because we are placing one bulk order, and that's it. So if you don't order them, sorry about you.
Yep.
You can't get one. And then we will hopefully get the order in within a week or so, and we will have them available for pickup again starting at the home opener.
Fantastic.
So, and also, speaking of the home opener, I wanted to mention we are not going to do tailgating organized by the Booster Club at the home opener this year because we are going to be part of the pregame extravaganza. On Main Street. Right. And that will start at 2 o'clock. The Booster Club will be out there. We will have a table. We'll have registration and renewal info. We will begin the public sale for the remaining locker room nameplates at 2 o'clock. We will have the Asylum t-shirts to pick up. And, of course, we will be selling cowbells, which it's not the Booster Club if we don't have cowbells.
Exactly.
So all that stuff will be out there. We will do a tailgate at another home game soon. We're working on the details of that, but we're not going to do it on opening night. We want to really focus everything on Main Street. We want a great turnout because Backstage and Main Gate and the Iceman office are putting this on, and we don't want half of the fans to be out at the back 40 lot.
Yep.
We want everyone to be at the party because guess what? If nobody shows up to the party, they're not going to do this again.
Well, and just the fact they've shut down Main Street. And
right.
They're
gonna
How
awesome is
that?
Have
air inflatables out there and everything else.
Right.
So that's
literally,
where it's all going to be
they're
happening.
Shutting down Main Street yep. for our Icemen. How yeah. cool is that? Who would have thought that would yeah. ever happen?
And there's going to be beer. So
well, that you just sold everyone. Mm-hmm. So anyway, like I've mentioned a million times, all the info you need about the Booster Club is always on IcemanManiacs.com. We also have links to our Facebook and our new Twitter page.
Twitter.
Are on IcemanManiacs.com.
Just so that we can keep pumping up Patafi's account to get him to 1,000.
Yeah. So, yeah, go to the website. All the info about t-shirts and scrimmage tickets and locker room nameplates and registration and tailgating or not tailgating and the pregame extravaganza, all that is on there and more, plus these podcasts.
There you go. It's all you need. We're already to final thoughts, so let me throw a little curveball in here. Final thoughts on the Phil Kessel, Toronto Maple Leaf, Buffalo Sabre brouhaha of last Sunday night.
Should I just echo what Drew said and say Kessel's a wuss?
If you are, he is not a wuss. Dude, he tattooed that guy. He had to stop that fight because he cut him. But he's a 40-goal scorer. You don't damage your hands fighting some freaking John Scott monster.
He is huge, isn't he?
He is.
That is a big dude.
So. What? Well,
that's true. Drew made the point. What does not hurt your hands is turtling.
I'm sorry, but if I have a choice between my superstar turtling or my superstar hacking a man down with his stick, I want him hacking a man down with his stick. I've seen Claude Lemieux. I have seen Rafi Torres after he charged Marian Hossa and destroyed his end of season a couple years ago. And then to turtle after that? Uh-uh.
So can you believe that something like this happened in a preseason game?
I listened to the Toronto media, and those guys are even more cracked than we are. And I heard some of these people saying, this is just the beginning. This is going to be happening every weekend now, blah, blah, blah. It's the preseason, and you have guys, like you talked about the blue-white game down in Owensboro. People are trying to make a name for themselves to stick on the roster. And there's guys that score goals, and there's guys that have to bring a physical, intimidating element to the team. And so it just happens. And it happened earlier in the game. There was a fight between Tropp and I can't even remember who the Maple Leaf was, but the Sabres took exception to it because the Maple Leaf guy was kind of a heavyweight. Tropp's not a heavyweight, so they felt like he took a little
liberty.
To show his enforcer abilities. And so Scott and that line went out there for a little retribution. Coach Carlisle sent Kessel's line over to say to try and defuse it.
And that didn't work.
And no.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's preseason. It's always been like that in preseason. So
guys are trying to earn jobs, and they're going to do whatever it takes to earn a job. And if that means fighting a guy you wouldn't normally fight in a regular season game, then so be it.
Yep. So, anyways, he is Michael Shockley, senior writer. One nice.
Use your big boy words. Use
your big boy words. Senior writer, webmaster, and vice president of offbeat shenanigans for IcemanManiacs.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All the information you could ever need or want or even possibly think about in your dark, deep recesses of your mind, he has the answer for you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. Final thoughts.
Season 2 premieres next week, October 2nd.
It's going to be so much better than this show. Season 2 is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, except it's still hosted by us.
Did you say next week?
Yes, October 2nd.
Man, that may be tough. Stay tuned for the next show. Date.
Wow.
Surprise.
Okay.
That's why you got to listen all the way to the end, because you never know what the calendar is going to be.
Yeah.
Next week could be a very busy week is all I'm saying.
Either next week or the week after that.
Exactly. No later than the 7th.
Yeah.
And then it'll be every week after
that. The 7th is a Monday.
Crap. No later than
your shows mixed up.
Yeah. No later than the 9th.
This was trucking along really well until we got to the calendar, which you screwed up again. Jeez. Well, whenever season 2 debuts,
it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so much better. This is crap. This is like amateur hour.
Yeah, and it's
going to
be
season 2 in 2 weeks or 1 week or whatever.
Then it's going to be semi-professional amateur like the Spa-aha, right?
The Spa-aha is the best hockey in this town.
So we will have a new segment replacing trivia, lots of other fun new stuff. Also coming in season 2. Probably not on the premiere episode, but at some point in season 2, we are going to have more new Real Men of Genius spoofs.
Real Men of Genius spoofs.
Beautiful.
Yeah, getting warmed up already.
Beauty. So, yeah, all kinds of fun stuff coming up whenever the heck we get around to do another show.
So
we'll see.
We'll see. Shocker, Dirty D, 96.9, Wired.
We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.